Actually, there should be a button on that video conference panel that'll unmute you. There should be a little microphone icon on that white screen. Oh, there we go. I can hear you.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, Rachel.
Don't you guys feel?
Yeah. We'll see
her short.
Where did it go?
She's okay with me. So we'll have to. We're going to unmute us when we're ready.
You guys have stuff. Things are easy, but all the stuff they're doing, the day he announces you're going to do with soccer stuff, it's just completely crazy. It really is.
Yeah, we're in. We just need to unmute us.
Almost
when
there.
We just don't want to unmute until.
No, I just want to make sure.
Was Chrissy one of them?
Why didn't that?
Here, actually, let me prompt it and see if it'll just
off.
There, that worked. I can't hear you now. And I'll prompt it when it's ready to go again. You're good, I can hear you guys. I can hear you guys if that's an issue.
You can hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thanks, Derek.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we're good to go. I'm going to call the meeting order at 7:01 p.m. in the library. Today is August 24th. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. Sally, when you listen to this, happy birthday. Enjoy your week off. We have a full board here, so welcome. I'd like to entertain a motion to accept the agenda.
Second.
It's moved by Kristen and seconded by Tony. We do note that we have a hand-carried resolution, which was going to reflect resolution number 29. That will be added to our agenda. Is there any discussion? Okay, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 7-0. There are no presentations. We will move along to calendar of events. Questions on that, updates from administration, tweaks in the calendar?
You see an update regarding the open house. And it's going to be looking much differently this year because we are not allowing visitors into our school, regrettably, with the turn of events this year. But pre-K through 2 teachers will be doing individual home visits to allow the children to meet them before they come to school. And they'll be bringing information with them for parents. So that's the way they asked to be able to do this, and we were very much supportive of that. Virtual open houses, you will see, will happen here on September 1, 2, and 3. Is the superintendent's days. Virtual open houses will be on September 1 for grades 3 and 4 at 6 and 7 p.m. Virtual open house for 5th and 6th grade will be September 2nd at 5 and 6 p.m. And for grades 7 through 12 from on September 2nd at 7 p.m. We wanted to be able to space it out so that parents had an opportunity to meet with any grade level because of multiple children in homes. So we spaced it out that way, and that's posted on the web. All right? So that's our update on the virtual open house.
Has a sound blast gone out to parents on the messenger?
About the virtual open house? No. Nope. I am getting one or two kindergarten and second grade, I believe, teachers looking to go with the virtual versus the home visit that came out Friday to me. So it's a good thing we didn't do the sound blast yet.
But you will do a sound blast?
Yes, once that's locked in, we'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And the first one would
try to do it before like the 31st.
Yes.
So I give time for people to plan,
yep.
Get it on their calendar. That's what I'm beginning to hear.
Very good.
Okay.
We'll put that out now to go on. First day with students is going to, with cohort A will be on the 8th, and the 9th is Wednesday. That will be a virtual day, and the 10th will be the first day with students with cohort B. Mr. Story believes students will learn which cohort they are in on Thursday.
Yep.
We will have a pickup of Chromebooks for students in grades 3 through 12. And with those Chromebooks, they will also have the students' schedules if you're in the 7 through 12. And they will have teacher assignments. Correct, Mr. Story?
Correct.
Okay.
And the pre-K through 12, based on the note in your email, regardless, they're going to hear from that teacher this week, even if it's one of them that want to do virtual.
Yes, correct.
So that everybody will know by Thursday.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Everybody would know their teacher, even if they don't come to pick up a Chromebook, like pre-K, they would know who their teacher is in the cohort. Yep.
Well, the people pre-K through 2 they've asked, I've told them they'll find out this week because based on your email,
yep.
Those teachers are supposed to call and set up appointments.
Correct.
So when they call to set up an appointment, congratulations, it's probably figured out.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay. So those were very important things that I thought we should talk about this evening.
Good. Any questions on that?
Chromebooks or anything available for under third grade or no?
At this point in time, we are ordering more Chromebooks for pre-K through 2.
Okay.
They will be available, but at this point in time, we had to order more. I don't know if you wanted to add anything more to that.
I think we ordered majority of these Chromebooks in the end of June, early July. They still haven't arrived. There's a nationwide shortage of Chromebooks. They are ordered, so there will be Chromebooks for pre-K through 2.
Okay.
Just crossing our fingers that they get here sooner than later.
Okay. So those kids that don't have anything available at home, they'll just get like a packet of work to do in the 3 days that they're not in school? Is that what I'm guessing, or?
We are talking to teachers about the fact that there will be materials sent home by week.
Okay.
Not for a month, by week.
Okay.
So if you're in cohort A, you would be here on Tuesday. If there's something that is supposed to be worked on Thursday and Friday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that would be sent home with them on the Tuesday. And then they would have directions to have it come back on Monday.
Okay.
Okay? But none of these big packets at this point in time, we're not looking at that.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, anything else? Community of caring.
Nothing.
We're gonna move along to the consent agenda. That's been moved by Mr. Bartlett, do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Adam Minor. Any discussion?
Did we ever receive a breakdown for our Gersio and Gersio bill from last time?
Yes, we get that bill on a monthly basis.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure when we got 12,000 last time, we asked for an overview of it, and I see there's another 8,000 on the thing this time. So,
okay.
Are we tracking way above normal? That seems like a lot for, I mean, granted there's been a lot going on, but.
There was a significant amount during the closure about closure guidance that you would have, as a board, seen as we went through those months. So, we can get a breakdown for you.
Yeah, why don't you just send a copy of an invoice to me?
Sure.
Yep, can do that.
Can do that.
I did ask for it before.
Yeah.
And the one I asked about was almost 6,000.
I was like 12.
One I touched was
okay. Yeah, I would say.
I just wonder if we were tracking way out of line.
It's definitely trending a little bit higher, but I think that's largely due to the fact of all the COVID
executive orders,
everything else that had to go into the reopening plan.
Well, instead of getting a copy out of it, I could just see it, and if I think the board, you know, I could share it with them.
Yeah, I think it's a document that's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
You need to like
make sure it doesn't end up. On someone's coffee table.
It has confidential information.
Sally has, yeah, Sally keeps the copy with all the,
yeah,
the copies with all the actual descriptions and everything in it. So,
even if I could get like a monthly statement that broke it down,
yeah,
you guys can come up with something, send it to me, and then I can share my description.
Yeah, it comes first to me, and then it goes to Mr. McGarvey.
Legal matters and their personnel names are listed, which I don't think there should be, because there hasn't been any of those issues in the last few months.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want any kind of exposure. But I do think we're entitled to know exactly where the money is going. I'm glad Adam caught this month's expenditure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's because, I mean, just if you total, even if I had the other one, too high, contraction.
Yep.
It's like we're way up. And it's probably not coming back down anytime soon.
Things are leveling off in terms of the executive orders and interpreting them. But a lot was going into that during those months. And a lot of districts were in the same place. You better check with your school attorney on this. You better, on that.
Well, and fair is fair, and we're glad we had them do the MOA that you guys approved back in March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were a good hand.
So no one's saying that. We just want to keep an eye on it.
Yep.
Okay, all in favor of the consent agenda?
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. That motion is carried 7-0. We're going to approve a handful of returning substitutes. The Excel list that's right there for you. It continues on to page 5. I'll entertain a motion.
Move it.
Moved by Roger, seconded by Krista. Is there any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion carried 7-0. We're going to approve the 7-2 rates too for the upcoming school year.
Move
it. Moved by Adam.
Second.
Seconded by Roger?
Yes.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried, 7-0. Approved substitute teacher, Sergio Morales.
Move it.
Moved by Adam and seconded by Dave, I think you heard. Mr. Stewart.
Yes, Sergio has a degree from, in elementary English teaching from SUNY Farmington in Farmington, New York. Bachelor's in applied math and a master's degree in special education, 5'9", from Touro College. Not sure where that is, but student taught Island Trees Middle School in Levittown, New York. Substituted Farmington School District for 3 years. A lot of special education substituting and all grade levels. I mean, HACCP School District substitute, Island Tree School District. These are on Long Island. I spoke with him over the phone. He's actually, as we speak, headed on his honeymoon within either New York or a state you can come back from. I think he told me Pennsylvania. And then he will be coming in next week to meet with me in person.
So is he going to commute from Long Island to here?
He now lives in Watertown.
Oh, okay. Well, that's some pertinent information. I was going to say, I think we're raising our rates, but not quite that well.
Not quite.
Okay, thank you, Scott. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? That motion is carried 7-0. Substitute cleaner, Mark Armstrong.
I'll move it.
Moved by Adam.
Second.
Seconded by Tony. This is Mark Armstrong, who lives downtown. I think most of us know him. Retired CO, or has been everything, is a CO. All his children came from school here. That's any questions on Mr. Armstrong? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 7-0. If I'm going too fast, Scott, I can slow down.
You're good.
Thank you. Substitute cleaner, Brad Meeks. Entertain a motion.
Move it.
Moved by Kristen.
Second.
Seconded by Tony or Anthony. Mr. Story?
Yes. He also lives in Watertown and currently is a lieutenant for the New York State Department of Corrections, I believe, DOCCS in Watertown. Looking to substitute. And as a cleaner.
Any questions? All in favor, aye. Motion carried 7-0. Scott Hansen, substitute cleaner or substitute bus driver.
Yep. He also did list.
Move it.
Moved by Adam.
Second.
Seconded by Roger.
Thank you. My bad. He also did list maintenance and support on his application. Cape Vincent Correction Facility Captain. Still working there. A few other prisons.
Yeah, he's local, I know. I think he's big into shooting trap. His wife does some embroidery work too. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 7-0. Grant tenure to Miss Casey Cosio.
Okay.
Is that Kyle? Yeah, I'm going to give Kyle that one. Kristen, second. Any discussion? This is on the recommendation of the superintendent and administrators.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion is carried 7-0. Tenure to Ms. Charlene Lewis.
Move it.
Moved by Adam.
Second.
Seconded by Anthony. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 7-0. Grant tenure, Amanda Britton.
Move it.
Moved by Roger, seconded by Kristen. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 7-0. Moving along, tenure to Ms. Katie McGrath.
Move.
Second.
Moved by Kyle, seconded by Dave. Any discussion?
No, I don't.
Pardon me?
You said you know my feelings.
Getting up. Can vote however. Any other discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 7-0. Point math teacher, we're extending this.
Move it.
Amanda Bingle. Moved by Roger.
Okay.
Seconded by Kristen. Okay, these next few ones, does everybody understand what's going on? It was in the email. This is while they're finishing up their degrees, finishing up their certifications, right, on these next three. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carried 7-0. This is the same for Mr. Facility.
Move it.
Moved by Kristen, seconded by Adam. Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carried 7-0. Ms. Martinez?
Move it.
Moved by Roger, seconded by Kristen. Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carried 7-0. Approve as cleaner substitute Virginia Nelson.
Move it.
Second.
Moved by Roger, seconded by Tony. Any discussion? This is excellent. She's a very hard worker. I saw her just the other day. Actually, she must be working now, which is great.
She does a great job.
Yeah.
Hard worker. Yeah.
Actually, both her and Val.
Yes.
Think of what they did with the food pantries and stuff, and they're always, always doing something when they're here. That's good things. Any other discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carried 7-0. Approved. Aid substitute Virginia Nelson and Tina Spencer.
Move it.
Kristen with the motion, Adam with the second. Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carried 7-0. We're now on page 8. For those in attendance keeping up with us, resolution number 17, accepting the resignation of Marcy's Matthews as a teacher's aide.
Move it.
Second.
Moved by Roger, seconded by Kristen. Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carried 7-0. We're now going to appoint a teacher assistant, Marcy Matthews.
Move it.
Moved by Roger.
Second.
Seconded by Adam. It's sometimes hard to hear when we're not even wearing masks. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carried 7-0. Extracurricular activities. So we are going to have them.
We've eliminated some.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
Just kind of breaking it up here. Anyways, extracurricular activities. We are still going to have class advisors and FFA and down through the list. Entertain a motion.
Move it.
Second.
Moved by Roger and seconded by Tony. Any discussion?
We've discussed with these the expectations of what they need to do and the timetable that they need to do things.
Senior trip and all that.
Yeah, I was going to say, could you elaborate that a little bit? Or, yeah.
Just checking. We make sure we got the right people on this so we're not looking at things that are pulled off the internet 5 minutes before a board meeting.
Right. We're pretty confident we're doing
this. Okay. We spent about an hour administratively reviewing the list and discuss things that we didn't see could be accomplished at this point in time in the year. If we come back to school full time, then we would come back to the board with appointments for certain things that we know could happen if there were kids here.
Yeah.
There are some things that we just don't have, can't make happen.
Okay. Yeah.
We're good.
I have a question about the trap team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just saw a post on social media that was canceled.
Not by me.
So that needs to be researched tomorrow because this is what I said. We all support TRAP, and if it can happen, I think it should happen. But if we've got Como saying this, the board's doing this, and the Facebook post saying this, we can't have that.
Right, but at this point in time, we didn't take TRAP out.
That's what I'm saying.
We included TRAP on the agenda tonight because number one, parents take their children to TRAP, their
right.
students to TRAP. And it's an outside event.
I understand that. I think
yeah.
we should have it.
Right.
I think we should have fall TRAP.
Yes. I'm just saying it for the sake of the public.
Anybody else see the Facebook post?
No.
No. I'm just saying that for the sake of the public. That we looked at it, we talked about TRAP. It's not a contact sport. You
right.
can be 12 feet apart. And
and it's voluntarily on the parents taking them.
Yes.
To this offsite.
That's correct.
For the activity. Okay. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 7-0. Approve the reopening plan. It's 211 pages. I've gotten through the majority of it. It was also attached in your email. It's been discussed previously. It is on our school website. I'll entertain a motion.
Move it.
That's been moved by Adam. Is there a
second?
Tony. It's a tough read. A lot to it. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carried, seven zero. Permission for the superintendent to sign the immunization clinic contract is with Kenny Drugs. This was highlighted in the report. If you have any questions, we'll have to entertain a motion, be a good time to ask.
Move it.
Moved by Roger.
Second.
Seconded by Adam. Everyone know what's going on? Basically, in short, an employee flu clinic, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Like volunteer.
In September, volunteer.
Okay.
At the end of the day, they're here. It makes it simple for staff so that they can get their flu shots, those who want to. And our, I believe our health insurance covers it.
And but it covers faculty and staff.
Correct.
Bus drivers, aides, cafeteria cleaners.
Everybody. Yeah, Mrs. Bertram coordinates that.
Offer up to the substitute cleaners too.
Yes.
Substitute cleaners, teachers, drivers, anybody that could be on the payroll near, I'd offer it up. I think it's a good thing to offer up and it's in service. We're always relying on substitutes. While they're in, let them take advantage of the flu clinic.
Yeah.
If we can somehow make that work. No health insurance might not cover it, but I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, if we can make it work, we will.
Okay. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carried, seven zero. Permission for the board president to sign the food service certification.
Move it.
Second.
Moved by Roger, seconded by Kristen. Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carried, seven zero. We got a change in instructional calendar as we talked about this at our last meeting.
Move it.
Moved by Roger.
Second.
Seconded by Kristen. Any discussion? So the first day of instruction is September 8th with cohort A. We'll do a virtual day, then cohort B will start. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carried, seven zero. Change the name of a club.
Move it.
Oh, didn't he already do this?
Let's move by Roger. Move by Roger.
Second.
Seconded by Adam. Kristen has a question.
I swear we just did this like a couple months ago. Did we not?
I think when they presented to us is what I think probably what you're thinking about. When they presented to us back a while ago about going on a trip.
Yeah.
No, I swear it was on one of these that we changed it just a few months ago.
No.
We did. We just saw it.
Okay, that's confirmed. We did.
Sorry.
Somebody else didn't pick it up before this. So it's not counter. It's
right.
Same.
Well, we're gonna move along, but Kristen, you know what? That is board appreciation right there. The rest of us should have been like, yeah, where why was everybody else saying, I remember that too?
Yeah. Well, sorry if I'm aggressive.
We're all hanging Kristen out here to dry.
Sorry if that was too aggressive.
What I was gonna say was I thought when they presented, they said, oh, they changed the club, so it includes not just Spanish, but whatever. So Kristen, you're right.
Okay.
I thought.
You can say that again if you like.
And who's listening? How many people are streaming?
Well, the phone calls you make all week long, you couldn't call.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you call me about soccer. Como announces soccer and it says Kayvon. I said, how could I have predicted it?
I did not.
All right. All in favor, aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carried, 7-0. Permission for the superintendent to sign the MOA with the CSEA. Verification rollover. Adam, the motion. Tony with the second. Any discussion? We've talked about this previously too. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried, 7-0. Another MOA regarding job duties during this COVID-19 situation we're in.
Okay.
Kristen?
Second.
Adam? Any questions? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried, 7-0. This is procedural matter or cleaning up something that Percy and Grisha is representing us as far as.
Move it.
Tax changes go. Moved by Roger.
Second.
Seconded by Tony. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried, 7-0. Great new position, senior cleaner.
Move it.
Second.
That's been moved by Kristen and seconded by Kyle. Is there any discussion? I want to be clear on this. 28 is the board creating a position, which we can do anytime. 29 is a signed MOA saying the union will allow us to create the position and put a part of the union contract. 28 is a district creating a position. 29 is the union allowing us to do it. Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Motion carried, 7-0. And carry resolution number 29.
Okay.
This is for the senior cleaner with the Support Staff Association. Moved by Kristen.
Second, sir.
Second by Dave. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 7-0. Okay, that concludes our new business, old business, personnel, everything on the agenda, including the additions. We have lots of board review. There's some good minutes in there on the technology and safety committee meetings as well. I think at this time, unless everyone something.
It says it's on.
It's on?
Yep, you guys are good. I can hear you.
Yep, Derek and Harris.
Okay, we're live again.
Okay, so that was a brief technological pause. As I was saying, we're going to move on to administrative reports, and I think we're going to start with Mr. McGovney. If that's okay. Right? He does have a handout here, title of his business manager's report.
So really what I wanted to do is give you guys an update on state aid and a couple of the applications that we've been working on. On August 13th, 2020, the state started withheld 20% of payments coming in. It's not for sure whether or not that's going to be a permanent withhold. A lot of that's going to depend on whether or not there's a new federal stimulus package. So these could be temporary withholds, or they could be permanent, but they are things that we plan for. So starting next month, I'll be providing cash flow statements and just an analysis of where we are with our funds. The CARES Act application is due on the 31st. We received 31,980 and 188,693. Really what we're trying to do there is include expenses that we're using for reopening. So a lot of our softwares and partitions and some of the Chromebooks that we're purchasing. That way, hopefully very shortly after the application is approved, we can submit our final cost report to get that money, just as a way to increase our cash flow like early on in the year.
And that'll be forgiven money?
That is the money that came in the first federal stimulus package. So those were dollars that were originally taken out of our budget on New York State. But if you look on the state aid runs, there was a federal CARES restoration line So that was the federal dollars being distributed amongst all the school districts in New York State. So it's not new money, it's money that we normally would have gotten. But what we're trying to do is use those, complete those applications for things that we've already planned on expending, which is within the guidelines of the application. And it can go towards anything that benefits the school. Scott will be talking a little more in depth about the other applications, but you can see the dollar amounts for that. The first number is what we have this year. The second number is what we received last year. So close to the middle of the month, we got the final allocation amounts for all three grants. It's a 10.5% decrease, but we're on track to submit that application as well.
Any questions for Steve's report, Adam?
So, should remember, because I think we talked about it before. So if we take, so if 20% is withheld and we don't get it, how much of our budget is that?
So right now it depends because they're doing it by quarter. So they may do a 20% withhold on state aid when it comes in. So we haven't gotten our first state aid payment for this year, but they did take 20% of our final payment from last year, which ended up being about $10,000. So not a large chunk of money yet. It'll become more of an issue when we start getting in later into the year, when we start to get some of our larger
expenditures.
When we start getting some of our larger aid payments.
Aid payments.
Yeah. So the first couple, we don't usually typically get as much because they withhold a lot of that.
So they're below
ERS and PRS. So we don't typically get that cash right away, but beginning of the school year doesn't usually hurt us as much because that's tax season and we're getting a pretty steady inflow of cash at the beginning of the year. Where it could hurt us will be probably going into Christmas and into the spring if they end up doing a full 20% withhold.
So rough math, I'm not gonna hold you to anything. If they did it for a full budget year, is how much money of our budget?
So if it ended up being a total foundation aid, that 3.2 million could be $657,000.
So if
it ends up being...
Simple math tells me it's 1/10. 50% comes from taxpayers, 50% comes from aid. You're gonna get 20% of 50.
So for our total aid package, we did get $5,438,784. So there are only certain aids that are going to end up being reduced. It's not going to hit. It's not going to hit our building aid. It's not going to hit our transportation aid. So those are some of our hardware and technology dollars, our lottery grant dollars. Some of that money isn't going to get reduced. A lot of that gets calculated into how they distribute the money, but it's really being more of like our general foundation aid, our BOCES aid, and our private high excess cost aid. So we could be looking anywhere from like 657, like I said before, to a little over 700,000, depending on the timing and when they think they need to withhold. So they could withhold 20% from our first payment this school year and then not do anything with the next payment. And they may decide to withhold 20% from future payments. So it's going to be payment by payment basis is kind of what it looks like. So if it got really bad, like I said, we did plan for this. So we did incorporate some of that into our budget. But if they end up cutting more than what they're talking about, then we'll look to utilize a few of our reserves that we do have some money in.
Look at trimming some of the fat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good question. Any other questions for Steve's report? Looks like we're going to jump over to Scott's report, which ties kind of into that at the beginning.
Yes. Very beginning, the ESSA consolidated application. It used to be strictly called consolidated application, then they called it ESSA. Every student received that. Steve mentioned the dollar figures, and you can see for Title I this year,
We're using the Title I fund for our STAR 360 assessment program, DRAs, which is a reading assessment program, as well as a portion or all of the staff salary and benefits for our AIS. Title IIA money has been used for 40% of an AIS teacher's salary, and Title IVA for AIS teacher salary in math, K-6. And like Steve said, we are on track to submit it by August 31st. Any questions on the ESSA? Each category, Title I, A2A, and 4A, have various categories that you are allowed to use the funding for. And so that's what our district is planning to use it for this coming school year. The next section is our 4-H 21st Century Community Learning Center After School Program, 4-H. I recently attended a virtual meeting, I think it was last week, regarding data. So each year they ask parents and staff to fill out surveys, and then they present the survey results as a large group, consortium of all the schools that participate in 4-H, and they also break down Belva Henderson's results of the survey. So I took the 22-page survey results and data and summarized it as it pertains to Belva Henderson. So everything on the sheet is what you see for Belva Henderson versus combining it with all the other schools. And rather than me read through the whole thing, obviously you can certainly take this home and read it. And on the back, which is kind of nice to see, were topics that were suggested from families, especially for events that they could have, health and nutrition being the top, emergency preparedness, money management, and so on. You can also see a combination of our school plus all of the other respondents for a virtual 4-H, socialization being one of the primary benefits. Those kids being able to see each other online, I'm guessing because it had been so long since they had seen each other. I think the virtual started somewhere around May, end of April. So the two comments at the end are specific to Belva Henderson as well. Are there any questions on the 4-H data?
All right.
So no questions for Scott. Thank you, Scott.
So
open to Ashley's report for athletics.
So as you know, the governor came out today and said that low-risk sports could resume or could begin starting September 21st. That was tennis, soccer, cross-country, field hockey, and swimming. And then staying within their region, and then starting October 19th, they could go outside of the region. I have some major concerns with this. For one, we have worked really hard as a school district to put our students into two cohorts, so cohort A and cohort B. That would mean that our cohorts are then mixing, so A students and B students are mixing together for after school practices. Then when you begin to build games into that, you would mix A and B cohorts with then other schools' cohorts. So now you're not just affecting our students and our community, but now you're involving other schools' communities. So if there was a positive case, that could greatly impact our school. For example, maybe we're playing a school, a student tests positive, we have mixed cohorts. So that means those kids could potentially have to be quarantined for 14 days. And if they've shared the same space with another cohort and they've been in the same classroom, that means those students would also have to be quarantined for 14 days. So it doesn't just affect a small group of people, it does affect a large group. Think of the bus driver as well, because they are on the same bus with the driver that's taking them to and from games. Coaches, so mixing the cohorts. Our PE classes cannot be closer than 12 feet. They have to maintain 12 feet apart. And if I'm playing a soccer game, I'm not maintaining 12 feet with the other people on the field with me. So that, I mean, I'm sharing the same ball, I'm heading it. My sweat is touching someone else's sweat. We're pulling on each other's clothing at different times. So there's that issue. cleaning of the equipment between students, using them at practice, the guidelines, some of the things that I was reading from the NFHS, which governs athletics throughout the country. Mr. Allen and I, maybe our coach has a drill for us. We have to make sure after we're done using that ball, which we shouldn't be using the same ball, that we're cleaning and then sanitizing that piece of equipment. That is going to be a tremendous lift for our coaches to make sure I'm separating my student athletes and then making sure that cleaning is happening as well between each drill or skill that I'm doing as a team. So it's not as simple as I give everyone their own soccer ball and it's going to be fine, because we know soccer is a team sport. So they're going to be sharing the same soccer ball at some point in time in a practice. Locker rooms, our phys ed students cannot use locker rooms this year as of right now. So now we have five teams. We have varsity boys and girls soccer, JV boys soccer, and then modified boys and girls soccer that would all need to use the locker rooms after school. Again, maintaining that 6 feet of social distancing within the locker rooms. The time that that would take in itself is big. And then the cleaning between this group of changing and then the next group. We wouldn't be able to use the lockers in the locker rooms. Ensuring that our student athletes are wearing clean clothing every single time they come onto the practice field. That's another issue. I can't just wear these clothes, and a lot of athletes wear the same clothes. They may not wash them between every single practice that they have. The fields, I say we have 2.5 fields. That's being generous. I would say we have probably 2.25 fields. We have the Sharps field, we have the field when you first come into the gym entrance, and then you have the little field by the playground, which isn't a full field, it's like a little practice area. So we know in the fall it does get darker earlier. So trying to cycle five teams through, again, maintaining that social distancing and cleanliness is going to be a challenge. Busing.
Isn't the new one ready to go?
Well, that's a very good question. We're just looking at each other. It hasn't been turned over to us yet.
Right.
But it's possible by September 21.
I was going to say, I thought this was our back on it time.
It's originally we planned on getting back on in the spring.
Yeah.
And giving it the fall. Continue to take.
They haven't. They've missed one soccer season on it.
I thought we were supposed to be back on it this.
It depends on if you count last fall. Last fall, it went in late.
That's what it's okay. Resurgence, see what they say.
We'll get back to the board on that.
The busing. So you have the cleaning and the sanitizing of the school buses. Sometimes we have two teams that are going on the same day. Yes, we have a bus that can easily meet us here, take the kids, but sometimes we use a bus that has just taken students and dropped them off at home. So now you have to clean and sanitize that bus before that bus can pick up our student athletes and take our student athletes to that location for a game. I forgot to mention this up with the cohorts, but if I'm in cohort A and I'm at practice, I can go to practice. But cohort B, we have to make sure their temperatures are taken before they can even go onto the field to begin a practice. And then finally, spectators. Enforcing spectators at games, I don't think it's a wise idea to have spectators at games. Mask wearing, 6 feet apart social distancing. These are all of my concerns regarding a fall season. This was a huge lift, and I just wanted to present that and be honest and open with you guys. I know people were really excited about today, but as a school, we've been working really hard all summer, and to say in 3 weeks or a month, then you have to be ready to rock and roll to begin sports, which we'll have been in school for 2 weeks.
At one of our summer meetings that Dr. John Fania attended, he didn't see how we could be doing sports by September 21st in terms of and maintaining social distancing. So, I concur with what Ashley's saying, because so much of what we are going to be doing is keeping kids socially apart. 6 feet all day long, and then 12 feet for certain activities. Phys ed is one.
Mm-hmm.
Music is another. So significant challenges that we need to let the board know we're concerned about. Because it goes against what the New York State Department of Health has put on our shoulders and requirements that we have to maintain. And if we don't maintain those requirements throughout the school day, then we are not doing the, following the regulations that have been set forward to us. And now the governor says, you can do this. So educators across the state are like wondering what's going on here. All, and those that may not be in the middle of this who love sports are not really tuned into the issues behind it. So as the board, we wanted to make sure you understood.
So this has been a concern and there's been guidance. I mean, this honestly isn't anything that I don't think anyone hasn't already been thinking about, right? I mean, this is realistically all stuff that would have been part of precautions anyways. So I don't feel like this list between the locker room stuff and the mixing groups of students is all stuff that if you've thought about sports, which obviously you, or talked about it, which like you said, you were at a meeting that they talked about with the doctor. So what are other school districts' discussions regarding fall sports too?
Well,
because you guys all have councils and groups and things that you're part of, so.
We haven't met as a Frontier League, which is the league that we're a part of. We've had no meetings as a league. I just did a survey last week for the Athletic Directors Association for New York State. And at a quick glance, people said our schools haven't been focusing on athletics reopening. We've been working all summer on schools reopening. People said no, no, no to the athletics. So it was a little bit of a surprise today with, especially with soccer.
I mean, what's the difference between soccer and football?
Football maybe is more tackling.
But if you're still in contact.
Oh, yeah. That's my point.
Yeah.
Well, no, but if you're, so football, if you're Roger and I going against each other, you're basically face to face. There is, I will admit there's a difference. I can see where he drew the line. Not that I agree with it, but I can see where he did.
I don't think it's the same game.
It depends on where you live, I guess.
I think that the busing is a nightmare to begin with, so how do we expect this to even be possible?
Do you guys have a suggestion? I know you have a list of concerns, but any suggestions?
Well, just think about this. On Monday and Tuesday, we have Cohort A coming. We're going to clean this school on Wednesday before Cohort B comes in here. Why are we doing that? Because we're trying to socially distance half of the school so they're not intermingling. And while they're Cohort A's here, we're going to be keeping everybody 6 feet apart. Part of my report is all about, you know, social distancing. How are we doing this? We have details we're going to be bringing in here, putting all over the school on how to keep kids 6 feet apart. And then you bring Cohort A and B together in a team, and then you bring five teams together at the same time at the end of the day, and how are you going to find a place in a way for them to socially distance and change, and then in a sport where they run over and grab the ball.
So that means Cohort A and B is pointless.
Well, because of sports.
Correct.
So what we're saying is, do you guys have a suggestion? We see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So just say it.
We haven't met with a league yet.
They're probably not even another school is going to have a soccer team.
That's why I asked that question.
I think Kyle's right. So your suggestion would be no fall sports. I would support that.
That would be your best health recommendation for our kids and our families.
We'll set aside the health. If the Department of Health or SED, whoever, says that this is what's got to be done, we don't have enough bus drivers in a normal season to make these routes work.
Correct.
Well, yeah, but playing devil's advocate to the other side of that, are your soccer parents willing to actually transport their kids and not have to ever bus them? So that if Cohort A is at home, Kristen brings her kid in for soccer, or if they got to go to the line for a game, then they transport and we don't ever have to bus them.
But you're still mixing the cohorts and you're mixing with other schools where...
I get that, but I also am going to say that I don't have any proof. But I can also imagine where, given all of the lifts that families are dealing with, would I sit here and guarantee you that there's no mixing of cohorts on a Wednesday at somebody's house for virtual learning because somebody needs help? I'm not going to sit here and guarantee you that that would never happen.
No, but
so,
the school's not sponsoring it, Adam. That's a significant difference.
I get that. But that's why I'm asking what other schools are doing, because if...
They just heard about this today. And at this point in time, the reactions are, what is going on? We're trying to open, and now we are moving in this direction. We're implementing socially distancing, and now we're moving in this direction. People are asking the same questions.
Well, we meet again on September...
14th.
We can provide you with an update then,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, that might be too...
I think we'll have met as a league, because we're going to reschedule a ton of games, obviously, because games would have started next week. So you have 3 weeks worth of games that will have to be...
I mean, I will tell you, your teachers are not going to be happy. That's the reaction I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Loud and clear today.
Yep.
From the leadership. What is going on?
Well, I agree.
I mean, that's
why can't I have my shop classroom full and teach these kids hands-on experience, craftsmanship? But why? Why can't I have 6 kids around a table and teach them math the old-fashioned way so they can learn it? Why do we have to do work virtual? Why do we have to do this? But we can go play soccer? I mean, of course, I'd be mad too. It's an insult to your profession.
Yep.
And these unions are, you know, these unions are so powerful, and the lobbying that goes on with some of these political entities. Well, come on, they can't control them. Why is he saying that? If the teachers are so mad, it's not just our teachers, it's probably across the whole state. I'd be livid if I was any kind of teacher. You know, think about the pre-K programs that have been cut across the region. Thankfully, ours is protected.
Yeah.
How come I can't have pre-K with 12 little people to get them started, right? But we can go play soccer and you can mix them.
Yep.
I'd be mad if I was a bus driver. I'd be mad if I was an aide. I'd be mad with any of it.
Well, as a parent, you know, we talk to parents about all that we're doing to promote good health. I mean, you were on those meetings. It was, our focus was, this is what we're trying to do to keep your children safe.
Mm-hmm.
So much of the first day of Superintendent's Day is going to be dedicated to Department of Health regulations and all that we have to do to work together to keep our kids safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they're saying we have to do, and here's the regulations you have to follow.
Yeah. And we're leading
I guess
with
the,
that.
And to Kyle's point, what is the suggestion? I think you two are dancing around it. The suggestion is no fall sports, but also the suggestion is maybe not necessarily a suggestion, but more food for thought. If we need to practice 12 feet here and 6 feet here, how does that look on a soccer field? If we need to have these cohorts, how does that look on a soccer team? And nobody can answer that.
And if we're going to adopt our new goal, number 2, for the 2021 year of following New York State Department of Health guidelines, how can we allow this to happen if we're saying over here we're going to follow the guidelines?
And how can we say to play devil's advocate too, to my point, parent comes in, why isn't the ag class going to the soil judging contest? I can't they go do that? Because my son, I want him to learn, you know, about soil.
Because
but my daughter can play soccer.
Because they've already canceled that from the district side. That's why I asked the league questions.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot better decision from the league than it is from us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's why I asked that question, and that's why I'm saying what I'm saying, because it's a lot better. I get where you guys are going, but that is not a call sitting here as a board.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to make.
Mm-hmm.
I want the league to make that decision.
Sooner than later. Too.
Sooner than later to make that decision.
They should make it.
Because that is, in my opinion, that is their role.
Similar to graduation. It's the same thing. And if the schools are on the same page, if one school does it this way, and another school does it this way, and the third school's going to do it this way, guess what? Everyone's going to have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All these schools are 5 miles away.
Right.
I mean.
So I sit at a meeting among superintendents, and we vote on this. I can vote no. But I'm only one district and one superintendent. And if the majority goes with it, then sports are on. And then we're back here.
Then we have to make a decision as Belleville Henderson.
Well, mm-hmm. That decision's already made. Every other school is going to do it, we're going to do it.
You know, we can talk to NISBA.
If other schools find a way to follow the regulations and do it, then why can't we?
Then we go throw out the cohorts then.
See what other schools come up with. I guarantee you that these other bigger schools are going to have, if not the same discussion, if more heated and more convoluted than we are.
No doubt.
This is fresh. This is still new.
This is fresh. Mm-hmm. Our advantage is, you know, we don't have 30 kids trying to be on the soccer team. We're lucky if we field three teams, right?
We're looking at five.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like we don't three per gender.
Okay.
So we don't really care about social distancing. We just want to do what we want to do within the rules. So we're all just trying to find a way to fit the rules and still do what we want to do if we play sports. Because there's commingling. Like your point, what's the point of the cohorts? What's all this? And I'm okay with that. I mean, I'll support whatever you guys want to do. I don't have kids playing sports, whatever you guys want to do, you know, but.
Well, I'm not okay with it because how can you develop a plan? The main purpose of why I feel that we're all here is academia, instruction. Not just math and science to English, but your shop, your ag, your whatever, PE course, you name it. That instruction. That's why we're here. So if we have to break up the normal instruction, which we have, and you're going to have two cohorts or you're going to do something virtual, then that should be our priority. So that is our main thing. So the sub things, like there's no field trips. There's no field trips because we can't do it. Then there can't be this because we can't do it. If we can do this and you can mix, then why can't you do that with instruction? And I think our main, in my opinion, priority is instruction.
Your point, if our main priority is social distancing, period, and we believe this is gonna work to keep our kids safe, and that's where we're based on decisions on, how can we not make a motion to not have sports? In good conscience, if our goal is follow social distancing because it's going to keep our kids healthy. If we have a different stance, that is okay.
We have been working on this for a long time. And we are not seeing a way through this. And I would say my number one priorities and ours, I would agree from being around, is that it's safety as our number one priority. And instruction is right behind that. But safety is our shield so that we can instruct the kids, so they can be here. And I just don't understand the governor's decision here with everything that he's done for safety. But it's counter to everything that we're trying to do.
No, and I do agree with what you're saying, but my point is that safety is our number one goal, and our purpose is education and instruction.
Right.
And then there's a bunch of things that come with that, intracurricular, extracurricular, intra versus inter. I don't know. I think you guys have another big task ahead of you. So I guarantee you it changes by September 5th. And I think when you go to, like, to Adam's point, your council, your meetings, Zoom, whatever you guys do, and I said this about the graduation thing, too. Within reason, you take the Jeff Lewis Bolsies or take the Frontier League. I know you've got, you know, Class A, Class B, Class C, Class D. Class C's and D's. Yeah. The schools need to be on the same page. We can't pit each other against each other. We can somehow echo that message.
Well, I can echo it, but
maybe it doesn't work that way.
I think that I am not another district superintendent looking out for their kids. I'm looking out for your kids.
Well, we are looking out for their kids, but I don't see it that way.
We are looking out for their kids if we don't have sports.
So
he's, Roger, saying they don't see it that way, right?
Right.
They're looking for sports, but what do you think, Chris? You're sitting over there quiet.
No, I 100% understand where this whole conversation is going, but I also know the back end of it where these kids have been hanging out all summer long, you know. But again, that's not on school grounds, so I totally understand it.
They already mixed cohort A and cohort B.
They've already, yeah. But, and I know there's kids that are playing soccer down in Syracuse or somewhere right now. Like, I saw that.
And traveling baseball and traveling softball.
Yeah, so.
Twice a week. Playing basketball.
Yeah, so I mean, it's already going on now, but I totally understand the standpoint of it being
that's
school
different too,
related
because
thing.
They can go do that. If something flares up, that's on them. Who knows how, you know.
Right.
But they're not being told, sanitize your car. We're being told,
right.
This is a public entity, sanitize your bus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we hold deep pockets here that everybody, some people, want to go for.
Mm-hmm.
In
yeah.
These tough times.
As much as it stinks, I always support.
It only takes one person to do
that.
Yeah.
All right, so there'll be more discussion on this. If
appreciate
you do hear
that.
Something, please get a report to Jane. Let Jane get it to the board.
Okay. You have the report on opening?
Jane, it's all you.
All right, so.
Don't change wants to start.
I'm not going to look at the pages. I'm
page
just
four.
Gonna, I'm just going to go quickly through our opening. September 1, we're going to be talking about Department of Health requirements. September 2, we're going to be doing virtual training and talking for our teachers. And talking about Belleville Henderson expectations for this year on what it looks like. We also will be training our aides and assistants on temperature taking. They will have that new role as we open school to assist with the four different areas or five throughout the school where people will greet staff and greet students and take their temperatures as they walk through the door. That's a part of the New York State Department of Health requirements. Anyone with a temperature of over 100.0 Fahrenheit will be asked to report to the nurse. And then from the nurse there, the nurse will do her review and the student will have to go home. And from there, the student will have to be taken to the doctor, be tested for COVID, and then a determination will be made at some point in time whether or not they are positive. And then the nurse will work with, we will not learn that the student is positive. Jefferson County Public Health will learn that the student is positive. And then they will come back to the district through the nurse and do contact tracing to determine who that student or staff member may have been in contact with. Anyone that student has been in contact with for over an hour, everybody in that category, whether it's in a classroom or on a bus, will be sent home for 14 days where they will have to do quarantine. Okay? This is the new rule. This is the Department of Health, and this is how we have to operate.
That was outlined in an email.
So
yes.
If a kid pops 100 over 100 and goes home, has to get tested. And it's the couple day test.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you're just crossing your fingers and hoping it's negative and not doing anything with kids that they may have been on the bus with for an hour.
We do not have control over those situations. The student, the parent takes the child to get the COVID test. It could be to the one that's 15 minutes turnaround time. There are two places for that. It could be to another place. It could be 3 to 5 days. In the meantime, we don't know anything about that situation. It's only after there's a positive result that the school district is notified. And then the contact tracing begins from there. And we move forward with what we have to do here to manage that.
So
and inform others. And a lot of the information will be going from public health to families, not through us. That's not our job. It's our job to send kids home and staff members who have COVID symptoms or over 100.0 Fahrenheit temperature. That's our job.
So okay. If the little kid comes off the bus and has a temp of 100, you wouldn't rate that in there, everybody on that bus?
No.
Send them,
no.
Okay.
Because
so little
now
more,
so what I,
infecting more.
Well, I wonder too, so we better understand this. The nurse is going to do her evaluation and say, okay, we just think little Johnny has got bronchitis, right? You're not going to, every kid with 100 is not going to be forced to get tested.
They're not going to play a game with trying to figure out what
no.
it is. They're going to send them.
Everyone with a temperature of over 100.0 Fahrenheit will go home, including every staff, every employee of this district. If that's the occur, it's the same standard for everyone. It doesn't require a temperature. It can be any one of the symptoms of COVID as well that will send a student home.
Okay, what if the parent says, no, I'm not having my kid tested?
Then they have to stay home for 14 days and be quarantined.
And what if the kid actually has it? So the other 10 kids on the bus and the 10 staff members?
Yeah, that's why I asked that question. So that's why I asked that question. So you're not...
I'm not, I mean, I...
You're just, no, you're... We are asking to clarify because
yeah.
you know...
I'm not
right,
challenging you on
we are in a small community, right? As much as we protect people, which we are 100% protecting people, if, God forbid, we have one, probably you'll, everyone will know within a day probably who it is, right? That's just where we live.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against it. That's just where we live. So that's why we ask the question that, yes, the kid gets home, you know, we tempt our kids. They were both 98 when you brought them to school. Harvey runs around outside crazy for 10 minutes, has a 100-degree temperature just because he ran around for 10 minutes on the way in. Right, gets sent home. Now you've got whatever, if it was on a bus, right? So then you got everybody that was in contact there. And then, yeah, say the parents are busy and say, I know they don't have it. I'm going to delay 2 days before I go get the test, or all the rapid tests are backed up because those happen. So, yeah, now we're out 2, 3, 4 days before we get, and we don't even get it, right? We only get it if it's positive. So now you've got everything before that.
Well, even there's people who won't do it.
Yeah, I know. That's
so. I don't know how we control it. That's all my point, isn't it? I know it's. I'm just throwing these things out.
Yeah,
there.
No, we're not.
I think we have a steep hill.
Yeah, we're not. We're not being critical of anything. We're just trying to, because right, you guys are going to be busy doing all this. So if there's something, it's going to be in this room is where it's going to go.
So, I go back. The most important thing for the board to understand is that temperature is only one of one area. A person could not have a temperature, and they could have symptoms. They have to go home as well. They have to be tested as well.
What are the cutoff for symptoms?
They're listed in the plan. You know, I'll send you them in an email. You know, there are things like cough.
Well, I know. I'm
okay. There's diarrhea, shortness of breath. You know, the list keeps growing.
So I have a question with it because I know
vomiting
of a student that has severe allergies, has allergy shots for it. He's going to have the runny eyes, the itchy nose, the sneeze, cough. He has to bring in a note from his doctor saying he has this and he'll be fine, or he's got to stay home during.
If he has symptoms, he has to go home. Our nurse has asked this at training with the New York, with the Department of Health. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. John Fania, on behalf of our district, as our medical director, sent a letter to the New York State Department of Health. Dr. Zucker, okay, everybody's seen him in New York
Howard.
State? Yep, to Howard. And he has not heard from him, but that was his point. And the response is they have to go home, they have to be tested, and then they have to stop having symptoms before they can return with a doctor's note.
So basically, a kid that has allergies, they're not going to be allowed to be in school the entire time.
Okay.
More concerning is what about the staff? I can think of a handful of staff members that have allergies. So they're going to, you know, we're going to have a hot allergy day out there and half the staff's going to go home.
I have a daughter that.
Where do we go from there?
She has allergies. She'll be doing it.
We're all in the same wavelength here.
A batch of people get food poisoning.
So, Kristen, what we hope will evolve from this is that so much of this will happen with people who have other conditions.
That they loosen the regulations.
That regionally they say, okay, we'll approve this young man, because he has allergies and he's been out twice or three times, to come to school. That's what our hope is. But right now, we have, those are the things behind the scenes we've been spending a lot of time on.
Well, and the other thing is, you're going to flood, if that's what every school district has to do for students, employees, you're going to flood the tests and you're not going to be able to get tests.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right, they don't just let everybody run into those free reign. It's 15-minute appointments. It's right. So you're gonna test the infrastructure system to a point they can't handle it.
Right.
That's what he wants.
Yeah.
He wants more tests. That's how he's gonna get it.
Well, yeah. So the positivity rate's low because they're all coming back negative. So then he can. So then he can say, oh look, our positivity rate's so low because we tested so many people.
Right. Or maybe we can't keep school open because we have so many people out. And at that point in time, we would go to a remote model where if we have so many kids out or so many staff, we would go into a remote model, which means that most of these teachers won't have real illnesses, and so they would be allowed to work from home under a remote model when we are all remote. Okay. Just important things I wanted to bring up tonight, because I think it's really important that the board understands some of the things that are going to be coming. And it's going to sound absurd to parents, and we explain these things in our parent meeting, but I wanted to really put it out there in front of you, because I think it's going to be the new reality and the new reaction, similar to what you've had today.
And if you find that at any time you need a board meeting before September 14th, you let us know and we'll make sure we can get four of us here.
Okay.
It won't be an issue. We will be here.
Okay.
If you need something done, if you need to say this isn't going to work, you need to do this.
Okay.
So you know that.
The third day, September 3rd, we are going to bring our substitutes in, those who want to come in for training, and we'll train them on the New York State Department of Health guidance. We'll talk about what this all looks like this year and try to get them some comfort zone with being a substitute for us. The other thing I want you to know, that this week school's going to, we're going to get our decals out, so when the next time you come to school, you're going to see decals on the sidewalk 6 feet apart and throughout the school, and masks on posters on every door. So it's part of the decal requirement that is in the Department of Health guidance, and our architect designed it for us based on the regulations, SEI, Steve Stavesky. And I'm going to ask him to sign off on that, so we have that as part of our requirements fulfilled. Okay? That is it for you tonight, unless you have more.
So I see you mentioned the registered nurse substitute rate. So we don't have a backup for Mrs. Bertram now.
We do not have a registered nurse.
Okay.
Substitute.
Okay. Is that, given where Karen is at and what we're dealing with, should we honestly just be looking to hire a second one?
At this point in time, I think raising the rate is going to be my first recommendation to the board.
Because, right, if you have 20 kids come in and all have a temp of 100 and have to, right, she's just going to get flooded.
Well, she has a system in place, and we are bringing in an extra sub for her office so that she has two people to work with her. And that's what she feels is sufficient at this time.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you for that.
Well, no, that's as this have gone and you, that's honestly not a question anybody's asked. Right, that position is now one of the most, not that it wasn't before, but is now one of the key positions that's gonna keep us operating.
Correct.
So if she needs help or if we need, I don't know what her future plans are, but if it's something we need to talk about it.
Yeah, well, following this, we'll post.
Good idea to tuck away.
Yeah, okay. Following this meeting, we'll post for a sub with that rate and I hope to get some responses. And please pass the word around the community if you know people who are available certain days because they work shifts and they wanna work here as a sub, that'd be great. We'd bring them in and they could be trained here with her.
Anything else for Jane?
You mentioned real quick about the lockers in the locker room. Alright, students are not using lockers, regular lockers.
No, our physical education classes are not.
No, like the regular lockers.
Okay, the lockers will become part of what we phase in once we get kids here and following the socially distanced model.
Okay, so basically they're just bringing with them their bag to a classroom and.
The classroom has half the number of desks, there's plenty of room around each desk for their book bag.
Okay.
Other questions for Jane? Any questions in general? The board wants research. We've covered a lot tonight.
When are we anticipating our new contact system being implemented instead of school messenger or whatever the new one is? Their school tool. What's
Who wants
the one
to
now?
Take that one?
We have a meeting. We have a meeting tomorrow called a discovery walk or something like that at 11 o'clock, and. I'm not sure the time frame after that, but it's pretty quick after that from what I, so they have pulled all of the data, student and staff, from school tool, and it is
populated.
Pulled and populated into their system. So now they just do a discovery walk with us, probably some training and whatnot, and then we roll it out. And I think the goal still is by September.
By the start of school. I know
right.
that when we, parents come and get Chromebooks, all that fun stuff, we will have an information sheet to go home with them for that as well. Like that's my goal because I think if we can give them the knowledge prior, I think that will be instrumental for it.
So how?
We're training teachers next week.
So the ones that get messages now get on that list how?
We automate because it automatically married with school tool,
so
it already has pulled emails and phone numbers that were in school tool into the parent square.
So if mom, if only mom came in and filled out the form and only put her phone number on it, mom's going to be the only one that gets anything.
No, in school tool there's an icon that I can drag over and add them to the current messenger system so that if you, your wife, and right now we can do two school messenger, but we can do more for parent square, I believe. So basically the drag and drop for which numbers we want. So somebody could call me and say, I no longer want my cell phone, I want my work phone. So I just drag one and drop the other.
And we'll have the ability now, instead of doing two, to do multiple. So if they want both phones.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So do we have any plan in place to send a, when we send the Chromebooks home, to make a form to send out that says, here is what we have for you now. What do you want added?
Yep.
Either grandma or grandpa or, because guys, we need to get better on communication. The reminders for the virtual thing was pathetic. We need to get better because we can't take it anymore. People need to know and they need to be able to plan because they need to be able to make plans. If we want everybody to be safe and be able to social distance, you can't, can you move all your kids around in 12 hours if you have to? Go different places and make sure they don't mix with kids in the other cohort. Can you do it?
Possibly.
Not.
Possibly, right? I get it. We got a big drag, but if we want other people to support us, we gotta give them the time and the leeway
yeah.
and make sure that everybody's getting the information.
We agree.
And before in our workshop, we talked about Facebook. You guys are still researching that? Potentially school Facebook post.
Yeah, I'm not sure where we
We haven't made any headway since our.
No, I'm just throwing it out.
We would like to. We want to evolve to Facebook. At this point in time, we know we can. But we are trying to get open.
That's why I say, I know you have a big pull on getting open.
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking the questions on our new system so that we can say, right, and send forms home, and I don't care if they send 8 people in to get the things so that everybody knows. Because honestly, before tonight, I didn't know that it was limited to 2. Right? So if it was just Whitney and I, and then if we had, right, grandparents or something involved, until you just said that, I had no idea that our current system was limited to.
But the new system is going to be more open.
But I know, right.
Yeah.
So as we communicate with people that have frustrations,
right,
that stuff we can say, we'll promise you we're working on it. Give us September 1st. It's going to be a huge difference. When this form comes home, please make sure that all of your info is on there for everybody you want. So if you want Greg and Jane that only sees them once a month because you might have them that one day on there,
That's the issue we were getting into was grandma who lives in Florida was curious if they didn't have school that day, so she wanted to be on the list.
Yeah, but you could control that. No.
Right. It was easy to control when only 2 were allowed.
Well, no, but it's still easy
now
to control
can,
it.
Yeah, now we can say no.
Screen it.
Purpose.
Okay,
but... No.
Okay, grandma who lives in Henderson, yeah, she can be on there.
Right.
Oh, grandma who comes to the school 10 times a year and she lives in Watertown, she can make that, yeah, she can be on here. Grandma who lives in Australia, no.
Right.
But I think also with that app, you wouldn't be assigned a specific student. Like, you're assigned to your kids. So you're going to get information from their teachers also. So if it was other people that maybe we didn't say we want grandma from Australia on it, grandma from Australia, I think, can still have the app and see updates that we post as a district
that anybody could see,
but they wouldn't see Johnny's specific classroom teachers stuff. Does that make sense?
So it's like the new system you're getting to be more.
So it is app based then? Because I'd asked that before and you weren't sure.
It can be. Like if you probably have smartphones, so you'll probably get the app because it's like, it's set up like social media, like a Facebook. So you can set notifications to come to whatever time you might want notifications. As soon as someone sends them, you might say, I don't want notifications until 8:30 at night when my kids are sleeping and I can sit down and focus on what in the world is going on. Like, you have that ability to do that. It has a messaging system that you can use that will go right to the teacher. So it's set up like social media, so it's easy for people to use. That's why it's so well liked by schools that have it and their families.
This will be one significant benefit for communication. We're just not there yet.
The pandemic?
Are you sure that everybody gets the messages now?
I only know if they don't get it if they call. I can look up a report.
Because my wife gets like every other one. I don't get any at all, but I have to worry about that. As long as one of us gets it.
I can look up a report.
She was sitting next to a neighbor friend, and she got it. The neighbor friend got it. She didn't get anything.
Mm-hmm. 6 foot apart, though, she saw it.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, she said, well, I got a message from school, and my wife's like, I didn't get anything.
I can look up a report, and it'll tell me, you know.
I just want to make sure everybody's getting it. I mean, you send something out. I want to make sure.
Well, I think school messenger is what it is. We've been told it does have glitches at times. The reports I've gotten from parents that say I didn't get the call, I go to the report and I say, are you at phone number such and such? And they'll say yes. And I'll say, well, I've got a report that says you didn't pick up at 3:20 p.m., blah, blah, blah. So I basically call them out on it because I've got the report right in front of me that says, or it'll say, well, it says that, do you know a John Snow? He picked up at 3:15. Oh, well, that's my husband. Well, if you want a different phone number, just let me know. But
and with this specific platform, like when they did our data poll, it tells us how many people it's going to reach. So it said we had 13 students that were not contactable.
All right.
So then I sat down with Tara and I sat down with Sally, and then we went back into School Tool and we assigned stuff like, why aren't these kids, why is there nothing pulling? So we did that. So every time something goes out, administratively, we'll always get reports. And so we'll be able to see who didn't get something. It automatically comes up in our dashboard with a nice little infographic, and then you can click on it further. So there's a lot of logistical things behind the scenes that will really
Can I just give one quick example?
Yeah.
So my wife teaching in kindergarten last spring, she read a book in front of a YouTube thing for kindergarten, and she could immediately tell 6 kids out of 15 watched the video of her reading it, or 7 kids, and then she got disappointed that half the class wasn't even watching the video she took time to make. But that's how quick and accurate it was, because the YouTube video was posted through Parent Square. It gave her immediate feedback who watched it, when, and I believe how long was that
mm-hmm.
watched it.
The diagnostics behind
again,
it.
Again, way huger than the current
mm-hmm.
Dinosaur reading.
This will be significant for communication.
It would be two steps forward rather than, you know, one back.
Right.
Or something.
And that, on top of Facebook, we can do a lot here.
So with all this said, and I know I think this was surfaced in an email, but I just want to reassure while on the record, if someone looks at all this stuff and says, I just don't feel comfortable with Johnny going to school, there's no way. There is a virtual component. They don't
yes.
have to belong to a cohort, they're going to get the same education, and they can do it virtually.
Yeah, I'm going to have Mr. Story talk about that, because he's been making a lot of parent phone calls about that.
Well, I'm sure. Or it can just be yes or no.
Yes. They will be learning virtually. I've explained to every parent that I've called that students will need to be in attendance every day for attendance purposes, participate with the teacher, and the teacher would lead them through the activity. Kindergarten activity, you know, once they sign in at 8 o'clock, the teacher does whatever activity, and more than likely they're not going to be in front of the screen for 7 or 8 hours. High school level looks different than that. You know, the teacher's activity may be longer than the shorts kindergarten time span.
But the virtual component is for 5 days.
The Wednesday is being allotted for electives that they may not have fit into their schedule.
In the high school.
In the high school level, at the high school level.
Okay,
office hours.
Let me rephrase my question. Let me rethink about this. Wait a second. I don't want my child coming to school, so they're not going to be along cohort A or cohort B. So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, they can be completely virtual, right?
Correct.
They don't have to come and still get the same education.
It's never the same as in person, but yes.
Yeah, well, that's a good answer. I agree. You're right. Now, cohort A, who's here Monday and Tuesday, they're still expected to sign in Thursday and Friday by 8 a.m.
Yes.
Right. Okay. But somebody does not belong to either cohort and can still be virtual.
Correct. But they must sign in Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay. Okay. Good.
So I have a question with that. Mm-hmm. Say my daughter, she's in cohort A. She comes Monday, she decides, I'm not really liking it. I don't feel comfortable going. You know, it's not any fun. You can't socialize with your kids, that kind of stuff. So I just want to do virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Can she do that still? Or does she?
She doesn't have the choice. I would go to the parents.
Right.
Final decision.
I can see that being an issue, though. So then you could.
I would encourage them to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the reverse is more our concern, that we are not allowing somebody
right.
to start virtual and then October 15th decide they can come. By then, we've filled the seats that are social distanced
mm-hmm.
with at-risk students, and we don't have seats. So I think the reverse is more the concern
mm-hmm.
than the student who starts and then just for health reasons or whatever doesn't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And we're also talking social-emotional health as well,
mm-hmm.
not just physical.
If Mark showed us anything, we can go 100% virtual in a hurry.
Yeah. Okay, here's another example. I have female children, say, they're womanly thing comes, right? Okay. They're not feeling well. They don't want to come to school that day. They tune in virtually still. Are they going to be marked absent? Is it okay that they do that? Are they going to have a note the next time they have to come into school? Like how
they'll
be marked absent on days?
Yeah,
like,
right now they are, if they tune in virtually,
mm-hmm.
we would still expect a note from the parent that they're not coming in person, however they're attending virtually,
okay.
and then they are not marked absent.
Okay.
But they're following their day schedule, so if they're home not feeling well, but they attend virtually first period, second period, and then not third and fourth, they're basically marked half day absent.
Okay. Now, would they need a note from a doctor to come back or just from the parent?
Just from the parent.
Okay.
Unless they have the symptoms. Then.
For that symptom, just from the parent.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
This is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I think this has been a good board meeting. I know.
I have one more question.
Yes.
What is your plan on disciplinary for students and or staff that don't take social distancing seriously?
Well, it'll be progressive. First, it'll be instructive. And then from there, it'll be one level consequence from the next. Just like it would with anything else. We have a student process. We have contracts to follow the other.
Just wondering.
Yep. We want to first make sure people understood. So that's the lowest level response. Instruction.
I can just think about, you know, being in high school and
mm-hmm.
this new process, it would be tough.
Yeah.
So just wondering if you guys had a plan or thought about what you're going to do.
Yeah, we're going to roll this out very slowly. We're going to spend a lot of time in classes talking about it and going over it. And, you know, that's why we're starting with the teachers and staff on the first day. And when we unload buses, we are going to unload buses one at a time, socially distanced. Very slowly. It's going to take us a while to get kids in here until they understand that those 6 feet apart markers is where they're supposed to be waiting and not talking to somebody next to them.
And their mask on,
yep.
So what time will the kids be getting here and what time will the first class start?
It's gonna be slow the first week or two. In most school districts, it's going to look like this. So kids will be on buses longer. We will unload one bus at a time, not everybody off. That's part of the training of the drivers.
Anybody else? Any other questions, thoughts? Okay, we do have, this time I'm going to entertain a motion to enter executive session. We've got three items, two personnel issues, one potential legal matter,
mm-hmm.
matter leading us to legal litigation. Entertain a motion for those three things. We'll enter at 8:35.
Move it.
How do we manage this?
So let me give it to Adam with the motion. Roger with the second. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Yeah.
Aye.
Motion carried 7-0.
We want to go to another room?
Yes. Just log out of the meeting.
What's the commission?
Well, I think we should. It's not the
Work out the
attendance as a record.
Okay, well, welcome back. We declared open session, or will declare open session at 8:53. Is there anything else that's come before the meeting? I think this has been a productive meeting. I'd like to thank our administrators for continually working hard on getting our students back to school and opening up. I hope everyone enjoys the rest of the week. If we don't hear from you or see from you, good luck with the first day of school. And thank you to all our faculty and staff who are preparing themselves for a whole new world, and we're confident you'll get through it. We appreciate everything you do. This time, I'll entertain a motion at 8:55 for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Moved by the famous David Bartlett, and seconded by his cohort, Roger Eastman. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion is carried 7-0.